Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
You're listening to All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. A new film series looks at how some of the smallest organisms on Earth have the ability to completely upend life as we know it. It's called Viruses on Film, and it starts tomorrow at Bam Rose Cinemas in Brooklyn and runs through March 23rd. The films are global in scope and range from Hollywood drama to science fiction to campy horror. There are also documentaries about AIDS, Ebola, and even one filmed in Wuhan in the early days of the COVID outbreak. Joining me now in studio is the co-curator of the Bam series Viruses on Film, Stephen Thrasher. He's a professor at Northwestern University and the author of the book The Viral Underclass: The Human Toll When Inequality and Disease Collide. Stephen, it's nice to meet you in person.
It's so nice to meet you in person too. Thanks for having me.
So in preparing for this series, I understand you watched more than 60 films?
Yes.
Okay. What did you learn about how viruses, how illness, how they're portrayed in film by watching all of these? What were some of the hallmarks?
One thing I found is that there's a certain kind of movie, including Contagion, which is the movie we're showing the first night, that are what I call pandemic procedurals. And they have very, very similar beats. And some of it felt quite reflective of what we've gone through, everyone on Earth has gone through in some form or another over the past 3 years. And I started noticing as I was watching movies from the United States, China, Europe, India, Africa, different places, that these pandemic procedurals had very, very similar beats. You had the scientist nobody would listen to. You had the love story. You had, as we were seeing on the TV show, the Last of Us right now, even though it's with a fungus, not a virus, but you always have the child being moved across geographic space in some way. And so it was interesting to see how that played out in different countries around the world. But then I also found that there were movies that really break the conventions in lots of ways. And some of those, I think, actually get to the embodied sense of what it is to live with the viruses or live around viruses in ways that can be more intimate and connective than the procedurals. Mm-hmm. But the procedurals also give us this frame for understanding and thinking about what's happening, particularly as so many people on Earth have now experienced this together.
With procedurals, as you said, there are certain beats, and part of that is the arc of storytelling and how to tell a story. Did you find any of these sort of usual suspect moments or characterizations particularly dangerous to export? I mean, popular culture is one of the biggest exports of the United States and is how people think about what they see.
Well, that was interesting because I was seeing these same beats in movies from Africa. There's the movie that we didn't get to show called Flu from South Korea because we couldn't find the distributor. But it's a really fantastic film about a fictionalized version of H5N1. And in that, you not only see the tropes that the U.S. has exported, but in that movie, it's showing an outbreak in Seoul, and they're also depicting that the U.S. government, which with all of our bases in South Korea, were also wanting to bomb Seoul to keep the virus from moving out. And it was an interesting way to also see how there are these exportations of the narratives of the U.S. military and of public health procedures. One thing I did find really dangerous that I do see in the movie Contagion and some of the other ones is a trope that is called a quote-unquote patient zero. And the virus is imagined to come from one person. And there's a real way that this mistake came to be through the case of the journalist Randy Schultz incorrectly identifying one person as the first person to bring HIV to North America. And it was all a mistake. It wasn't actually true. But you do see this often in these films. Often the films are depicting a space that's imagined in a very ableist sense that, you know, you have an area that has no viruses, it has no sickness, and suddenly somebody comes in and brings that virus. And they're almost always depicted in a sexually licentious way. So Gwyneth Paltrow in Contagion, which is an excellent film, but it does have this trope. She flies in from Asia. Mm-hmm. She's having an affair. She stops in one city in Chicago. She ends up in Minneapolis, and she has sex with someone who's not her husband en route. And that's how the virus is depicted in moving. And that often comes up in these pandemic procedurals.
Don't be a lady having sex now.
No. It goes all the way back to Jezebel with, in the 1930s, where Bette Davis is called, you know, a woman who should have been whipped instead of loved. And she dies of yellow fever. You see this trope also in a movie we're not showing, Forrest Gump, for example. Many people are familiar with that. The character of Jenny, who is Forrest Gump's love interest, is shown being very, very sexually licentious, and then she dies of AIDS. So this is one of the things that we do often see in the pandemic procedurals.
You mentioned Contagion. I want to play a clip from Contagion. Kate Winslet plays a doctor working for the CDC, and she's talking with staffers from a government office, governor's office, excuse me. Let's listen. This is from Contagion.
Is this something we want to release to the press, respiratory and fomites?
And how's the public going to react to that?
Hard to say. A plastic shark in a movie will keep people from getting in the ocean, but a warning on the side of a pack of cigarettes.
We're going to need to walk the governor through this before we start to freak everybody out. I mean, we can't even tell people right now what they should be afraid of. We tried that with swine flu, and all we did was get healthy people scared. It's the biggest shopping weekend of the year.
I think we need to consider closing the schools down.
And who stays home with the kids? People that work at stores, government workers, people that work at hospitals.
All right, that feels very different than it would have 4 years ago.
Yeah, I'm really curious how our audience is going to react when we show Contagion with Bill Gabbieri giving commentary tomorrow night. There are things in Contagion, I think, that will feel very familiar with to people, particularly, I think it was yesterday or the day before, was the three-year anniversary of the first lockdowns here in the United States. And so there are some rhythms that will really hit home and probably make people's skin crawl. There are other things that I think are going to come across very differently. And Contagion, we hear about, they don't depict it, but the nurses actually flee their posts because they don't have enough materials. And of course, that did not happen. We have healthcare workers who are still giving their lives. And nurses and people work in nursing homes are still dying on the job 3 years into this pandemic. So that's something that is very different from reality. And also in Contagion, there's, you know, people are running and running and running to get the vaccine early. And some people did, but a lot of people were very hesitant as well. And so that's kind of a different thing. But I'm curious how people are going to respond to that after having gone through something like this. There's a very, very different movie we're showing called 76 Days, which is a documentary out of that was made in Wuhan in the first 76 days of their lockdown. I have no idea how they got a lot of this footage.
We had the director on our show.
Oh, wow.
It was extraordinary. The lengths they had to go to be surreptitious on the download. We continue. It's a really fantastic film.
One of the point I was going to make about how that compares to a lot of these pandemic procedurals is it really seems like nobody's in charge in 76 days. And one of the things that makes it such a scary horror movie to me is the sense that you can see people doing triage on the fly. You know, you're not seeing the military and guns and sort of the screaming you see in these movies. It's hospital workers trying to make something work in a situation that isn't working. And then they disappear. You watch them throughout the movie putting on bigger masks, face shields, and eventually hazmat suits. And the sense of hierarchy disappears. That's something that I found really stunning as a viewer, is you suddenly don't know who's a doctor, who's a nurse, who's an orderly, sometimes who's a patient. And that's a very, very different visual sense that we have in a lot of movies about pandemics.
I actually have a clip from my interview with Hao Wu, the director of 76 Days. This was from January 2021. And he said one of the things that struck him while he was viewing the video of the hospitalized COVID patients was the isolation they were experiencing. Let's listen and we can talk about it on the other side.
They were so lonely and they were so scared and they had no family around them to comfort them, which makes COVID-19 such a horrible disease. And the medical teams in many ways become their almost like a surrogate family to give them not just the physical care, but also emotional support.
Are there any films in the festival that deal with this idea of isolation, that what happens to us when we get ill or when we can't be with one another?
Yes, very much so. The film Beats Per Minute, which is a French film about ACT UP Paris, has some of the scenes that I think are the most honest about intimacy and HIV, even though in my book, in my research, I think a lot about HIV and COVID together, but they're very different viruses. HIV does not preclude people from physically having lots of contact that could be very dangerous with COVID. But people were very frightened. And of course, they were isolated socially. They were isolated because there was so much stigma around the disease. And so this movie, I think, shows really beautifully the lengths that particularly gay men, lesbians, queer people went to provide intimacy to their friends and lovers who were dying, even when they they had been sometimes cast away by their own families and by their jobs and by society. The other film that I absolutely love, I know I shouldn't have favorites, but there are a few favorites that I have okay. in this season, in the series, is called Follow the Protocol. And it's mm-hmm. an absolutely beautiful film from Brazil, shot entirely in the pandemic, starring and directed by a wonderful young filmmaker named Fabio Leal. And he's playing somebody who is breaking up with his boyfriend. They have not been together for 8 months because Fabio's character refuses to break the protocol and go to his house and have sex with him. And then they break up. And as someone myself who spent a good chunk of the pandemic living alone as a single person, we see him by himself in ways that really resonated with me of how I got through those days, how many people got through their days. And then eventually he does want to connect with other gay men. And I won't give it away, but the physical way he tries to do so is extremely comical and very, very funny, but so honest and so it magically transports me as a viewer back to that time where we were very conscious of not being able to be together and thinking very creatively about how can we meet our longings, how can we connect to one another again. And so I think that movie in a very heartbreaking way shows attempts at connection, but also really gives the sense of isolation. So does the movie The Hole, a Taiwanese movie from 1998, which is about an imagined virus that makes people act kind of like Gregor Samson in The Metamorphosis. It makes them act like a think that they're cockroaches. And we see the city of Taipei basically get emptied out except for a few people who stay. And we see a man and woman who live just one floor above and below each other. And in a very comical scene earlier in the movie, a bureaucrat comes in and breaks this hole in the floor for reasons that aren't clear and leaves a hole between these two apartments. And so we see this man and this woman living their separate lives, but also being annoyed with each other on other sides of this hole. And one of them is imagining musical numbers of how her life could be different. But we see her like 25 years before COVID hoarding toilet paper, you know, all the things that we're now familiar with. And there's a scene where she's just coughing and coughing and coughing and hacking in the middle of the night that also hit me very hard as someone who is alone through much of the pandemic. And that sense of loneliness that we had in the middle of the night, you know, when we couldn't even talk to people on Zoom or turn to somebody else in our home, I think that movie captures that sense of isolation really beautifully.
The series is called Viruses on Film. It's at BAM from March 15th to the 23rd. I'm speaking with this co-curator, Stephen Thrasher. A couple of the films that are going to be screening, it's sort of an interpretation of virus. It's kind of virus adjacent, we'll say. Like 95's Hackers, that involves a computer virus. The Andromeda Strain, which has an alien element, if I'm remembering.
Correct.
Mask of the Red Death, Vincent Price. What do these virus adjacent films add to the mix?
Well, with The Andromeda Strain, and we did have a debate about whether or not to include things that weren't technically viruses. There are two that are other organisms. The Andromeda Strain turns out to be an alien organism, but it actually was voted by the National Academy of Sciences as one of their favorite movie because it actually shows the scientific process really wonderfully.
Oh, interesting.
And I write in my book, The Viral Underclass, kind of about how do we think about viruses? How does that affect how we interact with them? Why do we think of computers having viruses? Why do we think of media going viral? So the process in the Andromeda Strain, where they identify what the Andromeda Strain is an extremely accurate recreation of the scientific experiments that discovered what viruses are. They figure out that this is not a virus and it's something else. But the process to that is very very much shows how we found out what viruses are. Mask of the Red Death is technically a bacteria, but it is a really fantastic depiction of how pandemics play out. And Hackers is a really fun film, but Jesse Trussell, my co-curator, and I knew that we really wanted to include at least something that helped us think about computer viruses. Like, why do we think of that as why do we think of computers having a viral component? Similarly, with the Silicon Valley Bank situation,
took words out of my mouth. I was going to read a Wired headline to you that they're talking about the contagion.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was thinking of that this morning. You know, they're talking about it as a contagion, and we included Parasite in there. Parasite. I actually had an entire chapter in my book about Parasite, which I read as a movie that's thinking about capitalism as a virus. I mean, it's called a parasite, and viruses are microorganism parasites. But I think the movie Parasite is a really good depiction of thinking about how viruses are and how we imagine them to be foreign elements taking over a host. And so in that movie, they do a little misdirection where you think the poor family moving into the rich family are the parasites moving into a host, but it's really capitalism. Capitalism is mm-hmm. the virus that is moving through and infecting everything in that film. And so we wanted to have this festival be a way for people to think about not just pandemics and the literal ways that viruses move into our bodies, but also to think about how can we learn from them? How have we named them? How does the language that we use to talk about them affect the ways that we've responded to them over the past few years?
You touched on this a little bit earlier, but I want to make sure we make the point is, and you wrote about this idea that humor is an underused tool in viral filmmaking. What is a film in this series that is got some humor to it?
The two funniest ones are The Hole and Follow the Protocols. And the Taiwanese musical movie that I was telling you about, you see these things like toilet paper being accumulated and also mm-hmm. just absolutely absurdist things that you wouldn't think one could laugh about a pandemic or and I don't know how it would – I mean, I'm curious to see how it plays out now. This was, of course, made 25 years before COVID, but it does capture a lot of the universal experiences of pandemics. And then Follow the Protocols from Brazil is so sweet, and the ways that we see this gay man trying to connect with other gay men, mm-hmm. You know, it's comically. He's trying to have sex in very, very funny ways while still having a barrier between mm-hmm. him and other people. And as someone who advised a little bit the New York City Health Department and helped get out word when they put out safer sex practices that could happen through COVID, it was really – and I think the movie actually refers to these codes that we put out. Even though it's taking place in Brazil, they refer to the New York City Health Department and what they're putting out. Seeing it in action is very funny and very sweet, and it makes sex be something that's not either like dangerous and deadly, which is often the association we have with viruses. Mm-hmm. But also seeing it as whimsical and funny. And the ways that they also just deal with their issues around bodies in that movie are they're humorous in a way that I think helps the viewer, certainly helped me, think about bodies in a way that doesn't have to be destigmatized or like doing sort of work that has to de-shame mm-hmm. things, but it's just very funny. And Mask of the Red Death is also Roger Corman. It's a very, very camp movie.
Yes.
I mean, it's a horror, but it's based on an Edgar Allan Poe movie, Edgar Allan Poe mm-hmm. short story, but it's also extremely funny. Vincent Price, you know, for anyone who knows him, either from Thriller or from any of his other movies, is so good in it,
yeah.
And it's very funny.
Viruses on Film is at BAM March 15th through the 23rd. You can find more information at BAM's website. I've been speaking with co-curator Stephen Thrasher. Stephen, thank you for walking us through the festival.
Thank you so much.
There's more full bio, more of all of it on the way. We are talking about Shirley Chisholm, champion of Black feminist power politics with University of Kentucky professor Anastasia Kerwood. Stay with us.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.